tomorrow. We're in Romans 11 and verse 10, I believe. 11 and verse 10. Paul the Apostle is handing the baton from Israel to the Gentiles, from the Shemites to the Japhethites. We'll look at that a little bit tonight also. Skotis theis to son. Hoi. Ophthalmoi. Auton. Tu. Me. Lepain. Kai. Ton. No tone. Alton. Dia. Pontos. Sig. Da. Sig. Com. Son. All right. Skotia is the word that this first one comes from. Skotizo is the verb. Skotia is the noun. It means darkness. Thick, deep darkness. Thick, deep darkness. In the book of Jude, it talks about sophon skotia. Thick, thick, deep darkness. And it says here, let be darkened. Third person plural. First aorist, imperative, passive. Let be darkened. When it's passive voice, what does it mean? Somebody's acting upon something. Okay? So what Paul the Apostle is talking about here is, it says, let be darkened. All right? Let be darkened. All right? Imperatively. Do this. This is imperative. This is a command. Let be darkened. Hoi ophthalmoi. That's the word for eyes. Ophthalmologist. All right? Ophthalmos. That comes from ophthalmos. Let be darkened the eyes of them. Now, Greek, you have personal pronouns. You have first person, second person, and third person pronouns, and we're going to look at all of them tonight. And every one of them is declined. Every one of them is declined. Okay? All declined. We got ego, and we got mu, and we've got altone here. It's a third person pronoun. Pronominal adjective, actually. Let be darkened the eyes of them. Who is this? Who is them?
Gentiles.
What?
No, the Jews.
The Jews. The Jews. Israel. All right? They were not worthy of the merit that God had given them. They were not worthy of the administration of God's kingdom. They were not worthy of it. Of the not to see. All right? So they cannot see. Blepo means I see. And then when you conjugate the present indicative active, it's blepo, blepo, bleple, blepain, bleplomen, legeti, legain. All right? Legain. All right? That's how you always say omineti usiane. So this is infinity. Present infinitive active. Not to see. And the back, the notone, and the back of men or animals is what it's talking about there, that word notone there. Of them, genitive, plural, masculine. Genitive is a case of what? Genitive is a case of possession. The back of them, their backs, in other words. Always. Dia pontos. Dia, we have a little preposition in pontos. All bit together. Second person singular, first aorist, imperative active. Sig copto. It means to chop or bend together. And what it's talking about here is let them become slaves. Let them become slaves. Slaves. Bent under great burdens. Let them be burden bearers. I told you before, my family among the Chickasaws can be traced all the way back to 1539 and 40 when DeSoto came among the Chickasaws in Mississippi. They put up with him all winter long and his hogs. He brought hogs with him from Spain, and in the springtime they were getting tired of him. You know, the Indians were very hospitable, but in the springtime he decided that he was going to do this to them. Right here, he was going to make slaves and burden bearers and guides out of them, and they said, "No way. We're human beings. We're not going to be your slaves. We're not going to be your humans." And they whipped him and ran him off and scattered his hogs, and that's how all the wild hogs in the South got started right there, from Hernando de Soto. They're going to be captives. They're going to be burden bearers. Crime pays. Great dividends. They crucified the Messiah. They called for his death. And here is the rewards of it. All right? The scattering. The dispersion of Israel. All right? The dispersion. They got dispersed a couple of times, didn't they? They didn't learn the first time, so God had to give them another dose of it. All right. 11 and verse 11. Salvation is of the Gentiles now. You want to be saved, Jews? Go to church. Your synagogues are null and void. Your temple is null and void. Lego. Una. May. Eptison. Hina. Pesosin. May. Genoito. Allah. To, Alton, Parapiptamati, that is. I've written this thing up so much I couldn't hardly read my own writing. Soteria. Our word soteriology comes from that, the study of salvation. Tois, ethnesin, ace, to, para, zelusa, I say. Altois. Or Altus. Lego, I say, first person singular, present, indicative, active. What does that come from? What does that mean, that little word Lego? Where does that go back all the way to what? I pick. What it means, it has the picture, word picture, of a man picking out from his mind and his memory and laying words in a row, picking them out and setting them in a row so you can understand what he's saying. All right? Therefore, little old particle, page 295, if you want to write that down below that, on that little analytical Greek lexicon right here. Remember, the analytical Greek lexicon has every word in the Greek New Testament, and it's declined or conjugated. It tells you what the root of it is, and then it gives you the conjugation, it gives you the endings, all the endings of it right here. Now, remember, that's an analytical Greek lexicon. Now, here is the Greek lexicon that most people use. It's Thayer's Greek lexicon. It's not an analytical Greek lexicon. It has all of the roots in it. All right, the roots of all the Greek words. It doesn't decline or conjugate every word, but it gives you the history of the roots in this one. And in this one, you'll find out Lego means I pick, when you go all the way to the back. I say therefore not, particle of negation, page 268. Not they stumbled or tripped. This means to stumble and trip. This was used two times in the New Testament, by the way, here in James 3 and 2. Two times this word is used in the New Testament. This means to trip. It doesn't mean to fall down, but it means to trip, stumble, to falter. In order that, hina, they may fall down flat out. That's the word, to fall down, completely fall down. This is to be down and out. This is to be counted out. This is means to completely fall down and trip. All right? Down in a hole. Fall in a... Over in Vietnam, they had booby traps over there. And people would come along and they'd think they were walking on flat ground, and they'd fall in a hole, and sometimes bamboo would be sticking up, and they would call, that's the word term right here. You fall in a fatal trap. All right, to fall in a fatal trap. And down below it's pipto, is where it is. Completely, pipto means to completely fall down. What was Israel's fatal trap? They stumbled many times, but what was their fatal trap? What?
Unborn gods.
What?
Lord of God.
No, they tripped with that. What? When they crucified their God. When their God came to them, they crucified Him. That was the final straw that broke the camel's back. They were set aside. Set aside. Completely set aside. They might fall completely out. Third person plural. Second aorist. Second aorist means what? It's punctual reaction, but it's a little durative. It took them a little while to do it. Didn't it about 33 and a half years to completely fall out with God? 33 and a half years, but once it was done, wasn't it? Subjunctive. Subjunctive mode means what? The mode of what? Doubtful affirmation. The mode of doubtful. So they might do this. There's some of them that were saved, weren't they? Can you name some of the people that were saved, some of the big shots? Nicodemus. Who else? The Apostle Paul. Who else? Joseph of Arimathea? All right. We have a few of them that were saved. And these were on the Sanhedrin court. Fell out, down and out, counted out. Particle of negation, not. That was on page 268, by the way. May it become. Third person singular, second aorist, optative. And active. Alright? Optative mode means what? The mode of what we call the mode of hopeful affirmation. Not may it become. Hopefully it won't become, but it did, didn't it? But, strong adversative conjunction. All of in or of them trespass. False step. The transgression. Para tomate. Alright? In the stumbling of them. In the stumbling of them. The salvation to the nations. Ace. What does that mean? What's the grammatical rule? Grammatical rule for ace? Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. For the para zelose. To provoke to jealousy, first aorist infinitive active, para and zelo, para zelo. To provoke to jealousy. The word zealous there, the word zealous is in this. That zealous means to zealously boil. To boil with anger, to boil with zeal, and to boil with jealousy here. Then. Accusative, plural, masculine, third person pronoun. Remember I told you about all the different pronouns? This is a third person pronoun. Romans 11 and verse 1 and 14, cross-references, 1 Thessalonians 5, 4, Luke 20, 16, Acts 28, 28, Acts 28. Let's look at Acts 28 and 28 for just a minute. Acts 28 and 28. And then Luke 20, 16, I believe. Anyone over there in Acts 28 and 28? Are you over there, young lady? Can you read that for me real loud?
Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen.
All right. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to know something. Salvation is sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. Remember what they did when Stephen preached to them? They liked everything that he was saying. We looked at that the other day. We looked at the long story of Stephen rehearsed the whole history of Israel, the whole history of the nation. And at the end, and he said, "And you crucified the God of glory." And they screamed with their voices as loud as they could, and they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him and bit him like dogs and chewed him up. With their teeth. They chewed on him with their teeth. Like dogs. Like they called the Gentiles dogs. Salvation to the nations. How about Luke 20, 16? Luke, who's over there at Luke 20 and 16? Brother Harry.
He will come and destroy the vine world and will give the vineyards to others. And when they heard it, they said, "May it never
Go back up just a little bit. Just a couple of verses above that and read that where it starts up there. Let's read that real loud. 14.
So when the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him."
Go back up a little bit further. This is the parable of the Lord of the vineyard and the sharecroppers. Okay? Go on back up a little bit further. We're around up there around 12 or something. He gave a parable to them. Go ahead, Harry.
And he proceeded to send another slave, and they beat him, also treated him shamefully, and came away empty-handed. And he proceeded to send a third, and this one also was wounded and cast out. And the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy these vine growers and will yield the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, "May it never be."
All right, may it never be. These were rats. This is the whole story we're talking about in Romans right now. This is it. This is their final straw that broke the camel's back. When they crucified the Messiah, and the Lord, He gave them all these, took it all the different parables He gave them, all the different kind of things. You strain out the mat and you swallow the camel. Putting new wine in old wineskins. You know, the old wineskins were leather bottles and they'd already been stretched out with fermentation and everything else. And He said, if you put new wine in old wineskins, it'll break it and everything's destroyed. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant was okay for the Old Covenant. But here I am now. I am the Messiah. I am the King of Glory. I am your salvation. Lay the religion down and believe in me. But they didn't want it. They would not have it. They wanted things their way. They had their religion, they had their nation, and they did not want to change it. They were happy. They were happy. Galatians 5 and 17. Let's look at that. Galatians 5, 17. Anyone over there? Galatians 5:17. Are you over there, Don? Not yet. Anyone? Yes, young lady. Go ahead.
For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, are the two. For these are antagonistic to each other.
All right. Now, Galatians was written, Paul the Apostle wrote that to the churches of Galatia. Basically, all these are church letters, okay? And what was the problem there in the Galatian churches? They were going back to the Judaism. Judaism was a chain. It was a burden. Right over here, this last word here, sug, ka, snon, bent together. They wanted to be burdened down with the law. They wanted to be burdened down. They wanted their own religion. And they didn't want the freedom in Christ. They didn't want the Messiah to come and take care of all of their salvation and keep all the law. And what did He say He's going to do? There in Luke, the 20th chapter, what was He going to do? He was going to take the vineyard and give it to somebody else worthy. Somebody else worthy. Okay? Give it to someone else. A new and a different administration. They were beyond the point of no return. The straw that broke the camel's back. They fell in the ditch. They tripped in the booby trap. They were too far gone, okay? Too far gone. The Jews had rejected the gospel. A few of them, just a very few, are saved. It's a miracle when a Jew is saved today, is it not? Is it a miracle when a Jew is saved? It's a miracle when anybody is saved. But I tell you what, it's a double, triple miracle when a Jew is saved today. They have to be saved out. They have to be saved from their sin and saved out of Judaism too. All right. 11 and verse 12. A day. Tol. Parav. Piptamah. Alton. Pluto. Cosmu. Kai. Tol. Hey. Hate. Tamah. Alton. Plutos. Ethno. Poso. Malon. Tol. Pleroma, Alton. Since, first class conditional. But since the trespass, remember what kind of trespass this one is? Falling into a dungeon. The deadfall. What you call the deadfall. This is the stroke of death, okay? The deadfall. This is the one where they completely fall out. They're down for the count. But the trespass of them, riches, plutos. This word riches here means overflowing. Some of you have cups on the table there. That cup, just imagine, you could just keep pouring until it just kept on going up, imaginary sides to it, just going over and over and over, and then flowing over up this tall here, just running over. That's what you call, that's what that term means right there. Overly full, more than enough, over and abounding. Of world, system, cosmos. We get our word cosmos for that, we get our word cosmetics. Women set their faces in order with cosmetics. All right, that's what it means to set in order, cosmetics. All right, and the hatimah, the defect, the inferiority, the failure, the shortcomings of them, riches of the nations. We get a word ethnic background right there, ethnos, ethnon, ethnic background. Poso. By how much? It's kind of an interrogative adverbial. Rather, another adverb, the fullness of them. Now, this is fulfilled prophecy, people. This is fulfilled prophecy. God told way back in the book of Genesis, in the 9th chapter, we're going to go back there and look at it. Because this is all foretold in the book of Genesis, what was going to happen. A lot of people, they plan for yesterday. Well, the way they plan their lives, they plan for yesterday, okay? God, when He laid out His plans back in eternity past, He planned all the way through space and time, and He dropped little hints all along the way. All right, all along the way. Back in the book of Genesis in the 9th chapter. Let's go back there. Now I want you to understand something about mankind. In this 9th chapter of the book of Genesis, all the philosophy of mankind is entailed in here. All the religion of mankind is entailed in this. All the politics of man are right here. And Hamites, Japhethites, and the Shemites, the whole ideology, the whole DNA background is right here in the Bible, and it has come down to us to this day. Okay? Genesis 9. Nations have personalities. Ethnic backgrounds have personalities. Nine and verse number 18. Now the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem means what? name or monument. Ham means what? Ham, Ham. Ham means what? Dark. Alright, dark or swarthy. Alright. And Japhethite. Japheth. What does his name mean? Huh? To spread out. It means spreading. It also means light. Okay? Light. And you just look at them. Now, Hamites. Hamites are dark. Japhethites are lighter colored. Alright? And then the Shemites. Shem means name or monument. Now, let's look at these. These three were the sons of Noah. What does Noah mean? Noah. Remember that? Noah. What? Peace. Peace and safety. The first 10 names of the Bible portray the gospel. The whole history of salvation, soteriology, in the first 10 names of the Bible. We studied that in Hebrew. These were the three sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was what? Populated. The whole earth was populated. Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. And he drank the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan. The word Canaan there? Canaan means, that's where we get the word Cain. What does Cain mean? Cain. Canaan. Cain. Huh? Possession or gotten. Alright. And Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Now, there's a lot of speculation and a lot of commentaries on this for the last 4,000 years. He might have committed a homosexual act with his father. We do not know. We find out that the people that came from them, these Canaanites, Canaan, the sons of Canaan, they were incestuous. They were very promiscuous in every way. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Not, if he went in, he saw the nakedness of his father. Probably, most likely, committed some type of sexual act with him. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid upon both of their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away so that they did not see the nakedness of their father. And when Noah woke from his wine, from his being drunk, now a lot of people think that before the flood that there wasn't fermentation like there was after the flood. A lot of things changed after the flood, and the wine, his grape juice, he got to drinking it, and he got drunk and more drunk until he passed out. But when he woke up, he knew what his youngest son had done to them, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants." And I said, I think it was one of my classes the other day, that the Southern Baptist Convention, they used this, Southern Baptist or Southern Baptist, because they were the Baptists of the South, okay? And the South believed in slavery. They made slaves of people, and they used these verses right here to prove that all black people are supposed to be slaves. That's the curse upon them. But that's not what it says here, is it? Who is going to be cursed? Canaan. Not Ham, not Ham's descendants, but Canaan's descendants. And he shall be to his brothers. Alright, this is Canaan now. Now, what happened here? This is back in the days of Noah. What would happen over there when they were coming to the promised land after the Egyptian bondage? That's when they would go into the land of Canaan. And it said that their ungodliness, that their deceitful, that their corruption will be fulfilled about that time. They would get about as bad as God could stand them. And that God was going to destroy them and kill every man, woman, and child, and they would go into the land because these people weren't worthy to even be in the land. They were full of corruption and full of disease. He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." All right, the God of Shem. Shem, name or monument. So, Shem would be the bearer of the name of God. Okay? He would be the bearer of the name of God. Let Canaan be his servant. All right, he would be. They were going to go into the promised land. They were going to inherit the promised land, okay? May God enlarge Japheth. And Japheth means what? Enlarging or spreading out, okay? And let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. Now, let's go back and just study the whole history of the world. Right here. This opens up the whole... Okay. The whole history of the world in 25 minutes. Okay. All right, the Hamites. Now, God... there's a very good book here. Noah's Three Sons. If you want to... If you I don't know whether you can even find this book. I ate it up. I mean, I really just engulfed this thing because this is one of the greatest books that's ever been written, as far as I'm concerned. It tells the whole history of the human race right here in this thing. Noah's Three Sons. As far as I can tell, a Japhethite never invented anything. Yes. Oh, Arthur C. Cousins. You can go on and you can go on the website and you can read that book online. It's online someplace, I don't know where, but it's on there. If you Google it, you can go in there and read the whole book. And I don't know if Google or Amazon might print the thing on what they call on demand. But the Hamites invented almost everything that's ever been invented. Okay? They are a very, what we call, natural people. What we call naturalists. They live with the land. Every one of them, every descendant of Ham, has lived with the land, and of the land. Okay? And they use what they need, and they use the medicines of the land, the herbs, whatever. They use all of this. They were inventors of medicine. Now, the world was ruled by the Greek idea of medicine. Remember that? The Greek idea of medicine. Does anybody know what the idea of the Greek medicine was? The Greeks are what? Japhethites. Okay? What was the Greek idea of medicine? We get the Hippocratic Oath? Huh? No, that a man has to be balanced between what? Bile and phlegm and blood and all of this. You got to have a perfect balance of all this. So, remember what happened to George Washington? They bled him to death. Because they still were believing that type. They would put leeches on people to bleed them. You go in, the neighborhood doctor was a what? Thank you, Brother Bill. What was it? The barber. And the barber, you go to the barber, if you got sick, you go to the barber, and he'd get his sharp instruments out, he'd put leeches on you, he'd bleed you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, people, they were making them worse. They killed more people with the Greek idea, the Japhethite idea of medicine than any other people in the world. And all this time, you have the Aborigines knowing how to cure. They were doing operations. They were doing all kinds of stuff. Aborigines using all kinds of natural cures. We have South American. They were doing brain surgery down even in Egypt and using herbs and things to cure people. But the Japhethites were in control, killing people with their idea of medicine. Intellectual. It's all intellect. Okay? The Japhethites are intellectuals. They're materialist. Okay? Materialist.
So where did the Canaanites come from?
From Canaan.
Canaan?
Yeah, from Canaan right here.
But which of the three Hamitic,
They're Hamites.
They're Hamites.
Now, if Noah had cursed his son Ham, yes, what would he have done? He would have cursed himself. Yes. So he only cursed one descendant, and that's Canaan. That's the Canaanites in the land of Canaan, okay?
Canaan was basically one of the sons of Ham?
Yes, he was one of the sons of Ham, okay? Now let's go back and look. Cursed be Canaan, son of servant of servants, and he shall be to his brothers, and he also blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant, and may God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of what? Shem. That's very important right there. The Hamites went out. God confused the Hamites' languages more than anybody else. And they went out, and they were the trailblazers. They went out into the furthest reaches of the world. The Aborigines in the South Pacific, South America, Africa, every place, wherever they went. Okay? Out in these far reaches. And these people used natural medicine, and they lived with the land. The Japhethites used the land, and the Shemites, God blessed them, they were going to make plenty of money, whatever they did, or nothing. Okay? They blessed them. God blessed the Shemites, okay? But they would think of God. They would do everything in the name of God. The Japhethites did everything materially. Now, all the way through the world, the Shemites have always had one thing in mind, and that's God. Religion. Okay? Even when they went the wrong way. Right here, they're going the wrong way right here. They have invented their own religion, basically. The law was to lead them to Christ, but they made a religion out of it. And God says, leave it be, let it behind, it's finished, it's an old wine bottle. Forget it. It's over with. They weren't finished with it. They wanted to keep on using it, put new wine in it. Okay? The Japhethites followed the Hamites wherever they went, and they enslaved them all the way through the world. In India, in Africa, wherever, they enslaved them. In South America, in North America, Alaska, wherever you want to go, you just name it, they went there. Okay? They would use their inventions, and they would improve upon those inventions, and they would make
the money.
They would make plenty of money on it. That the Japhethites are geniuses of mind. Okay? Let's go back now here into the New Testament in Romans and find out where in the world that this relates here. Okay? The Shemites had failed in religion. They were God's administrators. Let the Japhethites dwell in whose tent? Shem's tent. In Shem's administration. Shem would abandon the administration of God. Shem abandoned God. And God abandoned Shem. And he went to the dogs, to the Japhethites. You know, Jews call them the dogs. All right? Now let's look at Jesus for a moment. Look at Jesus. Had Jesus come, he is a Jew, but he is related to us, doesn't he? He's got a little Hamite blood in him. He's got a little bit of all of those. We have Ruth the Moabitess. All right? And we got Rahab over there in Jericho. These are literal ancestors of Jesus. Okay, so we've got a little, there's a little bit of that and all that. He's the son of Noah. He is the son of Adam. He's the son of Abraham. But he comes to his people. In John 1st chapter, he came to his own and they will not accept him. He came to his own people, they would not. The creation accepted him, but not the people. The creation is crying out for redemption. Crying out to the sons of the heirs of God. The Jews demanded the death of Jesus. They demanded the death of Jesus. They demanded it. They were revolting. I mean, I could have brought the letter that Pontius Pilate wrote, the history of this letter, and talking about how the Jews had come up and they were just tearing up the palace. The ground was shaking and it seemed like the palace was going to fall apart. He said, it's just like going to tumble down. He said, it's like the demons of hell were released upon him. He said, I'm right in the middle of a civil war, of a revolt here. If I don't give this innocent man to them, they will destroy the whole place. And we'll have an absolute civil war on our hands. So here we have the Messiah, which is a Jew, son of Shem, the God of glory, and the Shemites call for his death, demand his death. Who carried his cross to Calvary?
A Hamite.
All right. The burden bearer. The Hamites have been burden bearers to the whole people, not because they were cursed to be burden bearers. Canaan was cursed to be burden bearers, but Japheth used it for an excuse to make burden bearers out of them. Wherever they went, they took over their culture, they adapted every invention that they had and improved upon it, and took the language and the culture away from those people and demanded that they do not speak their own languages or anything else. Does this sound familiar, even in this country? It was that way all over the world. Okay? Now this Hamite, he carried the cross, and then who carried out the execution? The Japhethites. So there we have all the three races of man right there at the crucifixion of Christ. Now, the materialistic people are the Japhethites. The naturalists are the Hamites. And the Shemites are the spiritual people and financially blessed. You know the reason why that Israel's back in the land today? Because God financially blessed those rascals. They'll make money no matter what they do. Just going to fall in it. And the Japhethites. The greatest theological writings that have ever been produced have been produced by the Japhethites. The greatest theological writings, the greatest commentaries and theological writings came out of Cindy's background over there in Germany. The sons of Gomer. These are tremendous, brilliant minds. Some of the greatest Greek grammars ever written are by German people. Some of the greatest Hebrew lexicons are by German people. The pure Japhethites, all right? But what's happened? What kind of condition are the churches of God in today? What's going on? Materialism. The church has gone material. I think Madonna made Material Girl or something one time. We can call the church Material Girl today. What in the book of Revelation, why does God condemn the churches? Material Girl. The harlot. Pure material. Her trades. The church and the world are lined up. You can't tell the church from the world in the end. And what's God getting to? Every time we see something like this happen, God's getting ready to do something. God's getting ready to change the administration again, people. Now, if it wasn't for the Lord's promise to His church, Matthew 16:18, you're Peter, but upon this rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. It didn't mean the gates of hell wouldn't try. The most brilliant minds, these people that have the most brilliant minds in the world, have gone to work in the Word of God and written some of the greatest theological writings that ever was. Eric Sauer. If you haven't read something by Eric Sauer, do it. They were translated into English from German. Beautiful works. Just fantastic. The Triumph of the Crucified. From Eternity to Eternity. Five different books that he wrote. Just full of scripture and just full of beautiful gems. But now we can see that we're going down here. We're getting ready to fall in the pit, aren't we? We're almost ready to fall in the pit. The final pit. The death pit. The end. All right? Materialism. Romans 11:25. Ezekiel 37. I have the valley of dry bones up there. We're getting ready to change, people. God called Israel back. He's not happy with them yet. I can guarantee you they still got to be beat up in the tribulation period before he can do anything with them. Those ungodly buzzards are just as ungodly. They don't believe in Jesus. You mention Jesus to them and you get a Jew saved today and it's a triple miracle. If one of them saved.
You know, the Jewish state is actually a secular state.
That's right. It is a Sadduceic state. Sadducees. We have the Orthodox Jews, which are like the Pharisees, and we have the Sadducees that are running the show. Mm-hmm. All right? And they all want the promises of God now, but they got to repent first. They are not going to get the promises of God until they repent. I'm not going to help them build that temple over there either. That's the Antichrist temple. They can find their own way back home, too. God's going to use them. In spite of them. In spite of them. 11 and 13. Himen, they, lego, tois, eth nason, eth hosol, man, un, amy, ego, ethno, apostolos, tain, diakonia, mu, dokazo. All right. To ye, but to ye I say, to the nations. That's from upon. That F there is from epi. Page 153 and 4 in that analytical Greek lexicon. Indeed, a particle of affirmation. That means like, yes, therefore, I am. There we have Amy. I am, the first person singular present, indicative, active, to be, or linking verb. And then we have ego, nominative, singular, masculine, first person pronoun. All right? And then ethnon, that's what? Nations. That's what we call the objective genitive. I, of nations, one sent with authority, apostolos. That comes from stelo. All right? Stelo means what? I send, and apo means what? Apostello. I send with authority. It's one sent out with authority, okay? Apostle. We got a word right out of English from the Greek. Right in English from the Greek, I should say. The diaconia. That is a... That's through service is what it means. Through service. Diaconia. Through service. My wife calls me every now and then on the phone or something. She said, I was kicking up dust today. That's a dust kicker. Something stirring up the dust for the Lord. That's what a diaconia is, a servant. That's what we got a word deacon right out of that. Okay? Stirring up dust for the Lord. There's a lot of deacons out there stirring up dust, all right. A lot of churches, I've seen pastors, didn't want any deacons in the church they pastored. Those deacons, some deacons stir up the wrong kind of dust. Okay? The ethne, the nations. The ministry of me, now look at that. Genitive singular, first person pronoun. The genitive singular, first person pronoun, emu. See that genitive there? I glorify, doxa. We got a word doxology from that. I glorify, first person singular, present indicative, active. 11 and verse 14. We covered a lot of... What?
That last word. Are both of those... What is it? D-O...
Doxazo?
Yeah. But the way you pronounced it, I thought that those two letters...
Doxazo.
The letters were different.
It's first person singular, present indicative active. It comes from dox.
Yeah. One's an X and one's a Z.
Pardon?
One's an X and one's a Z.
Yeah.
One's an X and
yeah.
One's a Z.
Yeah.
Sound.
First one is an X sound and the second one is a Z sound.
Now, how do we get that?
That's the Greek alphabet.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay. So I'm
that's two different letters.
I read them as the same.
Okay. Dox. Okay. Okay. And then we've got this one. That's two different letters.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a word doxology out of that, okay? If I can write it in English. I can't. If I print, I can't write in English. Doxology. Boy.
Okay, so...
Okay, doxazo. The soul on the end of it is present, first person singular, present, indicative, accent. Okay? Doxazo. 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 All right. 11 or verse 14 now. A. Pos. Parazaluse. Zeloso. Parazeloso. Mu, tain, sarka, kai, sozo, tinas, ex, alton. Now the Jews are going to have to become proselytes if they want to get to God. When Jesus, in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus had baptized many disciples saying that they must be born again. But now he's telling him, you need to lay that old religion, that old wine bottle down. Quit being winos. And repent. And come to God. Alright? Since how I may provoke to jealousy of me the flesh, and I shall save some out of them. Alright? Rebecca, are you over there? Have you got your Amplified open? Can you read that? Start all the way where we began tonight. In 11. And read to 14.
So I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall to their utter spiritual ruin irretrievably? By no means. But through their false step and transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So as to arouse Israel to see and feel what they forfeited, and so to make them jealous. Now if their stumbling, their lapse of transgression, has so enriched the world at large, and if Israel's failure means such riches for the Gentiles, think what an enrichment and greater advantage will follow their full reinstatement. But now I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then, as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I lay great stress on my ministry and magnify my office, in the hope of making my fellow Jews jealous, in order to stir them up to imitate, copy, and appropriate, and thus managing to save some of them.
All right. He says that the whole world is going to become richer because of the Gentiles, the Japhethites. Now look, the Gentiles are in control of the whole world, aren't they? Are they not? They're in control of the whole world. I mean, the Gentiles, the Japhethites, are in control of the whole world. They have control of all of it. Politically, of the whole world. And therefore, they could get the gospel out to the whole world. The Jews are stuck over there with their noses still stuck in the law, kissing the Word instead of kissing the Son. You go over there, I went over there to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. Brother Madden was with me, you know, that's one of my big old, that teacher that was this tall, you know, you can see a picture of me with him someplace. I mean, well, I looked like a shrimp. I was 6'2" at that weight time, weighed 220 to 240, something like that, and I looked like I was a midget beside him. Now I am a midget. I'll shrunk up. But we went over to the Wailing Wall. He wouldn't go up to the Wailing Wall. I want to go up to the Wailing Wall. He said, I'm not going to go up there with that bunch of heathens. It's like that. I mean, where they could all hear it. Look at those heathens. Look at them kiss a written page when they won't kiss God. And when they won't kiss the Son. Boy, he's back there preaching like that. You know, you can hear him all. It was echoing off the Wailing Wall.
He can do that, he was big.
Boy, and I won't go over there. I won't go up there with that bunch of heathens. Watch them kiss the Bible. They need to kiss the God of the Bible. Cotton picking heathens. Reprobates. They've denied the faith. Now, he went on like this for about a half hour. They didn't throw him out either. I went up there and I touched the wall. They got all kinds of little prayers. They take with a knife blade and they stick in there in between those stones. And those stones are put in there tight. You've been there, Cindy? Stuffing those prayers in there. I'm going to tell you something. That wall ought to tell them one thing. You need to repent. Jesus said there won't be one stone left upon another on top of that mountaintop. If you don't, he said so many times, I called you like a mother hen with a baby chick, but you would not come. You would not come. And Paul says their eyes were blinded. Their ears were stopped up. They had no feelings. Reprobates. Reprobate mind. What does reprobate mean? What does reprobate mean? One who has denied the faith. Since how I may provoke to jealousy. First person singular. First aorist. Subjunctive and active. Subjunctive, he might do it. Of me, the flesh. I am a Jew. I'm one of them. I do believe. When Paul believed, he became a Gentile. When a Jew believes today, he becomes a Gentile. He doesn't have to stay for the tribulation period. He can become a heathen, a dog. That ought to be some reason for you get him saved, huh? You want to become a dog? You people bit Stephen like a dog. You acted like dogs for the last 2,000 years. You've been scattered throughout the world and God's calling you back and you haven't listened yet. You heard the call, but you still haven't looked at the Son. Heard the call, but haven't listened to the Son yet. Not yet. 11 and verse 15. 11 and verse 15 explains verse 12. Hey, gar, hey, apo bole, auton, kata ale, al, katalage, cosmu, tis, hey, proslampsis, hey, me, zoe, ek, necron. For since the casting away, that word apo balo there, see that word apo means from, and balo means what? To throw. Since God threw them away, what do you do with trash? You put it in file 13, don't you? One of these days, God's got a file 13 for all human and angelic and spiritual beings. That's file 13 is called the lake of fire, eternal hell. Since the casting away, that one's used two times in the New Testament here in Acts 27:23. We have garbage companies, don't we? What are they called, sanitation companies today? You get rid of the garbage and make everything else sanitary. God threw them away because they're no longer sanitary. They're no longer fit for His service. Casting away them. I used to work on a slop wagon. When I was young, I was going to high school. I went to work on a garbage truck. People throw away really good stuff. I made more money getting stuff, taking stuff to the used store than I did from the slop wagon company. Find Rolex watches and Patek Philippe's and Gerard Perregaux's and Vacheron and Constantine's, all kinds of stuff on there, boy. And they throw away all kinds of good stuff. Materialist. All Japhethites. We didn't have any of them. If we went over in the lower parts of town, we got slop. That's when we got trash there. We went up there where the Japhethites lived, and they had good stuff to throw away. Or if the casting away of them, the throwing away, 86, trash cans of them, the reconciliation, look at that word reconciliation, that's a Pauline term, kata, katalage. That means to rend out salvation. That means to reinstitute. And this is the difference between religion and God. Religion always means the act of binding back again, but so much religion in the world is binding people away from God. God's plan of salvation is that He would procure the price that is to be paid. He would pay the price. He would buy you back. He would purchase the whole cosmos, the whole world system, the whole universe back. He was going to buy it back. That's the difference between God's way of salvation and the world's. The reconciliation of the world. What? The reception, the receiving. That comes from pros lambano. Pros means before, and it means to take to yourself. Lambano means I receive, I take, or whatever. And pros means before. If not, life out of dead ones. Cindy, could you read? Or not Cindy, but Rebecca, could you read that? Right, you still got it open.
For if their rejection and exclusion from the benefits of salvation were overruled for the reconciliation of a world to God, what will their acceptance and admission mean? It will be nothing short of life from the dead.
Life from the dead. Necros. There's different words for dead in the Bible. Necros is one, that means dead bodies. Thanatos is the other one. That means spiritually separated. Israel is Thanatos today. They're Thanatos. They're separated from God. They are living dead people until they believe. A living. You know what? Everybody else is building Israel up today. You know, they're all back in Israel, back Israel, back Israel, back Israel. God's going back Israel. He's going to get them over there so we can step on them and straighten them out. He's going to kill two out of every three of them to get them where they'll believe. They will believe after they've been squashed. Two out of three, yes.
Where do you think we're going to get the 144,000
if isn't it supposed to be the Jews? Oh, that's the Jews. The 144,000 are the saved. Those are ones that are saved, and those are the marked ones.
Okay, so they're currently, or
no?
I don't know. They may be alive today. Okay, that's very possible. They're alive today, but there's a whole lot of Jews. There's a whole lot of them going to die. Two out of every three is going to die. There's going to be 144,000 that are marked, and that's going to take place right here in the middle of the tribulation period. This is when they're going to believe. There's a whole bunch of them going to believe right in the middle of the tribulation period, and then God will protect them. These are ones that are going to be worth protecting. The rest of them were 86. Two out of three.
A related thing to that. You mentioned the temple being rebuilt.
Yes.
Temples take years to build, and the tribulation period is 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
The first part of it, the Jews are in favor with the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And they're offering sacrifices.
Yeah.
When is the temple going to start to be built? It obviously is before the second temple.
Well, they're talking about it right now. They've got all of the hardware to do all the services right now. All of that's done. I've heard that they have every stone cut. Who knows whether they do or not.
They got the red heifers over
there for 3 years. Yeah. Well, when they find... I don't care what red heifer they get. They've been looking at that red heifer for a long time, okay? All right. But the one that they really need is that one that's the ashes there with the tabernacle. That one there is going to really... Whatever they're doing today, it's all blasphemy. It's all blasphemy anyway. The Messiah came. They missed the boat. People, they missed the boat. The offerings are worthless.
The thing is, I think
yeah.
I've been to Temple Mount in the modern world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before the Lord comes the second time, they start to build a temple. That means they've got to pull down the Master of Omar. It seems to me. And that would have a worldwide repercussion from Islam. All
There's a lot of speculation. We know the tribulation period's coming. We know why it's coming. And we know we're near the end. We know that. We're near the end. Okay? All the players are in the right place. As far as building something, I'm going to tell you something. They can build something pretty fast. They've got a lot of modern equipment now. And the temple is not going to be a big temple. The temple is a two-room place. That's what it is. That's,
it's not going to be, it's going to be more like the Temple of Solomon rather than the Temple of Herod.
Herod was a very elaborate thing. Now, they can build... The most important part of the temple is the temple itself. Okay? And they'll have a sacrificial altar and all that stuff. They'll have the big basin out in front of it and all of that too. But they get that done, and then they can build all kinds of elaborate things around it for whatever time after that. Basically, Herod's temple, the temple wasn't so beautiful. It was all the surrounding structures that was all elaborate. Solomon's temple was beautiful. Boy, that was something else. But Herod's temple was magnificent and everything, but it was all the edifices around the temple that were so magnificent, all around it, the temple area. I don't go into a lot of that speculation because we don't know anything anyway. I know one thing, the Lord's coming back. I know another thing, the Jews haven't repented yet, and they better watch out because he's coming for them. And he's going to send their Messiah after them this time. The Messiah came to save them the first time. This Messiah is going to come to kill them. All right? And they're going to accept him and with open arms. And they're going to accept the temple. They're going to build the temple. They're going to go into these temple sacrifices. I don't think that they're going to find the Ark of the Covenant until the end over here. God will guide them to find that Ark, the real Ark of the Covenant in the end time. I don't think it's going to be in that temple. They've got everything that they need. All of the temple service, all the clothing, everything else is all done. As far as I'm, you know, all of it's done. Well, thank you for your attention tonight. I hope that you enjoyed God's Word. I hope you... See, we did study part of the history of the world.
It took me 35 minutes.
35 minutes, all right, to teach the history of the world.
Okay, so
11 and 16. Well, there's so much in the... Do you see how it all fits together just like a finely woven tapestry? It is beautiful. And you look at it, you go back to the book of Genesis. I have not heard anybody teach the gospel and the history of the world from there, but it's there. People have done it. That book right there is written basically on that foundation right there. He did 10 volumes. That's only one of the 10 volumes. Brother.
Jim, I haven't been in his class long enough. He gets me off on rabbit trail, so I go home and study all week about it. People are arguing with you because there's no full-blooded Jews anymore. They're dispersed in God. Well, in 1948, when I was born, Israel became a nation. The lineage of the Jew is not classified through the man like we are. It's followed through the woman. If a Jewish woman marries a Gentile man, her son is considered Jew. Her children are Jews. If a Jewish man marries a Gentile woman, then his kids are Gentile. That's the way they follow the lineage standard. So, yeah, they are full-blooded Jews, and they will be here. But a lot of people, you know, don't know that. But Jim gets me off on his rat trails and gets my mind around and spend
it. Yeah, there's plenty of Jews left in the world. There are some that are saved, but it's almost a miracle when one is saved. It is really an exception to the rule. They're all religious. One way or the other. Even they're religious atheists. Sadducees were religious, but they were atheists. They didn't believe in anything spiritual, but they followed rules. They followed religious rules. And they followed them religiously, but they didn't believe in a real God and real spirit world. Huh?
There's no hope of that.
Hell, no hope of afterlife. But this is the way you did it. And God, you know, this is our God and all of this business. But there you are. Well, let's go out and do something eternal this week. All right, are you ready to go do it? All right. Brother Don, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?